morning I was going to talk to you about faith that is tried. Over in James, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about bringing down hindrances in our life. Mark 11:22 commanded us to have the faith of God. And then verse 23 began to show us that we're to speak to those mountains. We're to command those mountains to be removed and cast into the sea. But things begin to happen when you begin to use your faith. And we need to also see this side of faith. Because when we begin to use our faith, things begin to get stirred around us. And you need to understand that, boy, I wish it would be simple when we used faith, that we would have no more heartaches, that we would have no more battles. But the Bible talks about it's a good fight of faith. And we must get in there and we must battle for our faith. But over in James, in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That word "count" there means to consider or to know that, get your mind, your intellectual process into motion. That understand that when you begin to use your faith, there's going to become an enemy that begins to come in to steal that faith. And we're also to count it joy. We're to get to the place where we understand why these things are beginning to take place in our life. I've seen many good men and women begin to walk on the Word, and today we cannot find them in the body of Christ anywhere. We have to understand that when we begin to walk in faith, when we begin to speak the promises of God over our life, when we begin to speak God into our circumstances, we begin to tell those mountains to be removed. That gets the enemy a little nervous. That gets the enemy a little mad. And he begins to maneuver. He begins to come in. He begins to test us, to try us. And it says there in that verse, diverse temptations. That's manifold or diversified ways. In other words, you get up one morning and something happens in your life and you wonder, how in the world did that happen? How was everything going honky-dory and all of a sudden you hit a wall or you hit a circumstance that begins to twist your head around and begins to take you down? It almost takes the faith right out of your mouth that you want to begin to confess your circumstances or what you're feeling or what you're seeing, and you wonder, how in the world did that come into my life? How did that hindrance hit me? And that's the word here. It means to strike you. It means to harass you. It means to bring you into discomforting circumstances. How in the world that I'm speaking the Word of God over my life and I'm ended up in this discomforting circumstance? How did I get over here? Because the enemy is coming in against your faith. The trying of your faith is like pure metals. They use fire to take the alloy out of it, any kind of metal that's mixed with it. They want pure gold. They want pure platinum. This is the only way that God lets us come into maturity of our faith. I wish it would be another way. Sometimes we know our faith grows by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But that faith yet is not mature to that faith is challenged. To that faith is knocked around a little bit to see what you're made of. God's going to see if you're a big boy or a little boy. He's going to see if you're a man or one that tucks his tail in and runs. Israel also was tested. They were tested, and I'll get back to that in a moment. Let me finish this. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. That word there means an endurance. It means being able to be the same before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. We can always tell when somebody's in the storm in the church. They come in with a long face. They come in with a confession that's contrary to the Word of God. They're like the Israelites. They're moaning and groaning and complaining and griping. It's usually aimed at the pastor or aimed at their father, aimed at their mother, aimed at someone in leadership, because all life is turning against us. And they begin to moan and they begin to groan. They begin to have a long face. But the trying of our faith works patience. And in the Greek, that means that we come into the maturity of the divine nature of God that's within us. We get to come into the wisdom and power of Christ that's in us. And also that our faith begins to be tested and tried by the fires that the enemy can throw at us. Those devil darts, those arrows, those schemes, those craftiness that he can pour on us. That if we stand up against it and we stay the same, we stand on the word of God. And no matter what he throws at us, no matter what the curve life brings us, no matter what pops up in our life, we look straight at that mountain. We take the faith that God's given us and we speak the promise of God and say, I will not be removed, because I'm commanding you to be removed, cast into the sea, because what God has promised me, it is coming to pass. That begins to mature your faith. Faith grows by hearing and hearing the word of God. But faith will not mature till you begin to be tested and tried in your faith. And that's what that means here. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I want you to notice the word test here will be the same word that Jesus was led into the wilderness and was tested. Before I get to Jesus, I want you to see that Israel also, after they had a move of the Spirit in front of the Pharaoh, and they saw the mighty signs of God, their faith was built up in God. Matter of fact, if you begin to read some of those miraculous signs, you will find that some things didn't even begin to happen to Israel anymore. It was only happened to the Egyptians. And their faith began to be built up. But as soon as their faith was built up, they were led into a wilderness. They were led into a wilderness. And I shared with you, in that wilderness, it should have been on the eighth day, they should have went into the promised land and began to claim what God had given them. He had given them the land with milk and honey. But in those 7 or 8 days, every time they hit something that came against them, we're hungry. We have no water. We have no meat. And they would gripe and they would complain, and their mouth would be filled with the contrariness of the word of God. And then when they spied out the land, they saw the giants, and their reasoning kicked in and their senses kicked in. And instead of on the eighth day of going into the land of promise, God had to circle that generation for 40 years till they died. The Lord told me this church is in a wilderness. We can come out of this wilderness by faith. And just like Jesus also came into a wilderness. Now we can stay in that wilderness. There's Christians that I still know today are still in the wilderness that I knew them when I pastored them. They still have not come out of their wilderness, because they pick up the wilderness in their mouth. They pick up their circumstance in their mouth. They confess what they see. They confess what they feel. They confess what their circumstances. They confess what they reason. They confess what others tell them. And they just stay in that circle all their life, just spinning around in a wilderness, growing nothing in Christ. They're not maturing in the divine nature of Christ who's in them, the wisdom and power of God, and their faith is not coming to a place where that faith can stand against any of the sword of the Spirit and begin to make warfare against the enemy and begin to claim the land that God has given us and begin to harvest the land around us. And every foot we step on is ours, just like he gave to the Israelites. He gave to the church. He gave us the inheritance of those that are lost, from the north, the south, the east, and west. And we're to go out and do the works of Jesus greater than these, how you do if you believe. But most of the time we just stand in a little church, spinning around in a little wilderness, griping and complaining, and most of the time putting the pastor out, bringing a new one in, and circling again. And then they have a new pastor, and they circle again. They get a new pastor, and they circle again, and cycle keeps going on and on and on. Don't you want to break some of these cycles and begin to climb up higher? Now, Jesus was the Word made flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In verse 14, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us to show us the glory and the grace of God. Now Jesus is 30 years old. He goes down to the Jordan with the rest of the people. And he gets baptized in the water, and he comes out, and the Spirit of God comes upon him, and God anoints him for ministry. But before he returns into ministry, he's led by the Spirit of God into a wilderness, just like Israel. But Israel spun around for 40 years till they all died in that wilderness and never came into the promise of God's land. But Jesus did something different. He began to take the faith that God had given him through the Word of God, and he began to look at the enemy. He began to look at those mountains, and he began to do warfare, and he shows us how to come out of wilderness. He shows us how to come out of our wildernesses. He shows us how to live in victory. Matthew chapter 4. This is also in Mark 1 and Luke chapter 4, but we'll just stay in Matthew 4. In 4:1 it says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Up in chapter 3, in 13, Jesus comes from Galilee of Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Verse 15, they begin to argue out in the water. John felt that he should be baptized by Jesus. Jesus said, no, you have to fulfill the will of God. Jesus won. John baptized him in water, and he comes up out of the water. Jesus, when he was baptized straight out of the water, lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Verse 17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What an experience in God. What a move of the Spirit. But just like Israel that saw the 10 miraculous signs of God ended up in a wilderness. Every time we begin to use God's word and start to battle something out in our life, we end up in a wilderness. We end up in a discomforting circumstance. I'm believing God for healing and I'm sick. I'm believing God for prosperity and I can't get no more broke. How's these things happening? Because in Mark 4, it begins to teach us a parable about the sower of the seed. The more we sow the word of God, the more immediately Satan comes in to steal the seed. He's a robber, he's a stealer, he's a killer, he's a thief. The more you love the word of God, the more that you love Jesus, the more immediately Satan comes in to smack you around. And I need to show you that just real quick. This is out of Mark 4. Verse 15, they're there by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately. How's faith come? By hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. But guess who else comes? Satan. Faith comes in your spirit, but Satan comes on the outside. But God gives us the faith. If you listen to the inward spirit, if you listen to that inward witness of your spirit, God leads those that are his children by the witness inside their spirit. If you will follow that inward, small, still voice inside your spirit and begin to study what God tells you to study, he knows what's coming down the pike. He knows what's in the future because he knows the beginning from the end. He'll prepare your spirit that when that wall hits you, when that disturbing circumstance hits you, when that harassing thing comes into your life, your faith will already be built up in your spirit. You can stand up and look at that mountain and begin to speak to it and tell it to be removed in Jesus' name. God always will keep you ahead of the game, but you have to walk with him. And so those that heard the word, Satan comes immediately to take away what? The word. We take it sometimes so personal. Why am I down in this crummy circumstance? Doesn't God love me anymore? It says over there in Deuteronomy, I didn't get to share this with you a few weeks ago, the Israelites cried out, do you hate us, God? All night long they moan and said, God hates us. How many Christians think that God is doing these adverse circumstances to them? But my Bible says the devil comes in. Like he did to the Israelites. Like he did to Adam and Eve. Came in as a serpent. As he did with Jesus, was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. Whew. Here in Mark 4 again, it confirms Satan immediately comes to take away the word. To take away what? The word. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. If he can get your eyes off the word of God, if he can get you back on your circumstances, if he can get you back on filling your body, if he can get you back on reasoning, if he can get you like Peter when he stepped out on that water and he began to walk to him and he got his eyes off of Jesus and he began to see the winds of the circumstances, he began to feel the water on his face, he began to feel the forced winds and he got his eyes on that and he began to sink and Jesus caught him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But he would have kept his eyes on Jesus, the Word made flesh. He would have stood on top of that circumstance just like Jesus did. Jesus never sunk. He stood there the whole time, never moving. He was in the same circumstance as Peter. He was in the same boat when he said, "Let's go to the other side." And those 12 men began to run around with the heads cut off like chickens, saying, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Jesus is down on the boat sleeping because he said, "I'm going to the other side. God told me that's where I'm to go. I believe what he said. I thanked him for my new mission, and I'm going to the other side." "Don't you care about us, Lord?" They woke him up and said, "God, don't you care about us anymore? Don't you love us, God, anymore? Don't you know we're perishing? Don't you know we're going down?" Jesus is in the same boat. Jesus is God in the flesh. He didn't move. He just stood up and said, "Storm, stop in Jesus' name." He didn't say Jesus' name, but he said it to stop. Why didn't the disciples? Because their eyes got off the mission and onto the circumstances. Stayed in that circumstance, spinning and circling, waving up and down, thinking they were going to perish. Verse 16. "Likewise, they are sowed on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately," whoa, glory to God, that's good, brother. Bring it on, bring it on. "But they have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. Afterwards comes these adverse circumstances, affliction, persecution. Arise for the word's sake, because faith is beginning to come, because you're beginning to speak to the mountains in your life. The devil doesn't like it, so he's coming in immediately, and he's stirring it up. He's going to fight your faith. He's going to stir you up. He's going to try to get your eyes off the word of God. He wants you to get off your faith, off the promises of God, back onto your circumstance. Begin to speak contrary to the word of God, and you'll begin to sink. You'll begin to spin. You'll begin to stay in your wilderness. You'll never move. But if you get your eyes off of the circumstances, back onto the word of God, and begin to speak your faith, the sword of the Spirit, you will win. Having no root in themselves. The word didn't have enough time to grow inside, to be in their spirit and in their mouth. It rises for the word's sake. But immediately those that are in the circumstance get offended. "Oh, brother, you just don't know how hard my life is. You don't know what kind of bed of nails I have to lay on every day. Moaning and griping and complaining." Jesus was in the same circumstance as they were, but he came out and they stayed in. The Israelites spun around for 40 years in that same wilderness, offended at God. "If we could just go back to Egypt, if we could just go back and eat cucumbers and leeks and onions and garlic, oh, our life would be so much better than what the milk and honey that God wants to give us, where it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes between them." Whew, wow. Being slaves and servants to the world was better than what God had planned for them. "And these there are they which are among the thorns, such as hear the word. Then the cares of this world come." What are we going to do? 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 "I can't sit on the word of God. I have to go out and work three jobs. I have to burn myself out." Mary and Martha, he loved those two. They were Lazarus' sisters. And he would come in and he would visit them. And they were wealthy. And they would treat him good. And Mary would always be running around. Running around. One of them, I might got it mixed up. One of them running around. "Got to get the table right. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this." The other one sat at his feet and heard the word. Just laid back. "Give it to me, Lord. Give it to me. Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good." The other one's running around doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. Finally, she comes to the Lord and says, "Lord, rebuke her. I'm doing all this, and she's just laying there like a bomb. And Jesus said she chose the right thing. We need to get full of the Word first. God will give us the work that He wants us to do. He'll get us busy, but we need to get full of faith first. We need to get full of God first. Because when we go outside those doors, I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying don't go to work. I'm not saying don't be foolish. I'm just saying sometimes we get caught up so much with the cares of this world that we can't see Jesus. Hope that you're mature enough to understand that. Deceitfulness of riches. Got to have this, got to have two cars, got to have a boat, got to have a cabin. Whew. You walk with God, He starts to take all that away from you. I had land. I had a house. I had nice cars. I had nice lawnmowers. I had nice stuff. I like nice stuff. Where's it at? It's all gone. Serving Jesus, preaching the Word. It'll come back. It'll come back. But it'll come back through Him this time. Not through my flesh, not through my work. And lust of other things. Oh, I had to work hard for it. I was working hours, preaching five times at the church, plus working 30, 40, 60 hours, busting my tail. Lust of other things entering in chokes the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now we got to go. Back here at Matthew 4. Jesus has now just been baptized with the anointing to go forth in ministry. And all of a sudden, He's led by the Holy Ghost into a wilderness. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, enters into a wilderness to have His faith tried. He's in there for 40 days and 40 nights battling it out. And afterward, He's hungry. That's the second time we saw that He was hungry. We see His humanity. God said, if I was hungry, I'd never ask you for anything. I own all the cattle on the hillside. I own all the gold and the silver. When the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He's telling him to command this stuff. And what this means, He's trying to get Jesus to see what He's made of. He's trying to see who He is. He's trying to get Him off of God's will back over into the flesh. He's trying to get Him to make a mistake. He's trying to get Him to confess something contrary to the Word of God. But look how Jesus battles him. But He answered and said, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Deuteronomy chapter 8 begins to pick up the word that Jesus used. What I want to show you this for, and we're taking our time here, is so that you understand that Jesus used the promise and the word of God to fight the enemy. He used the same word. He used the Bible. He used scriptures to come against the word of God. In verse 3, and He humbled thee. Why did God take thee into the wilderness? He said to the Israelites, to humble thee, to suffer thee to hunger. He fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. God took you in there to humble you and to see what you're made of. Why do these things come into our life? To see what kind of a man you are. Are you a man of faith, a man of reasoning, a man of senses, a man of circumstances, a man that goes by the winds of what is spoken around you, or are you a man of faith that speaks the word of God? He's going to test you. He's going to try you. He's going to let the enemy come in, and He's going to bring diverse circumstances that come right on the heels of faith to see what you're made of. I don't want to fool you that if we begin to speak our faith, that we live in some kind of la-la land. In chapter 4, in closing, I only have a few minutes. I was enjoying preaching to you this morning. In James, in chapter 4, I want to show you, and we'll go close in Matthew there. In James chapter 4, the Bible says here that we're to resist the enemy. Submit yourselves, therefore. That word submit is an imperative. It's a command. You must submit to God's program. You must submit to the way that God wants you to do it. I would love for everybody to pray my circumstances away. I would love for my mom and dad to keep bailing me out the rest of my life every time I get in trouble. That'd be great. I would love for every pastor to get on their hands and knees and pray for me every night for the next 40 days till I get my victory. I would like every prayer group around the world to pray for me till I get my freedom. Now, the Bible says that we're to submit to God's program. We're to rise up with the sword of the Spirit. We're to rise up in faith. We're to look at those mountains right in the eyes. And we're to tell it to be removed and cast in the sea by speaking, it is written, it is written, it is written. You speak the word of God to your circumstances. You speak God to those circumstances. You speak God to those mountains. It says here, it says, you resist the devil. Resist is a command. If you don't resist the devil, if you don't resist your circumstances, you don't resist what you're feeling and sensing and reasoning, then you'll stay in that wilderness and keep spinning around the rest of your life. The only persons that are going to get you out of your circumstances is you and you alone. Through the word of God, through the faith that comes through hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. You can sit and spin the rest of your life and die in your wilderness. God will still love you. God will still bring you home because you got born of the Spirit. But why not come to the higher mountain and start walking in the victory that Christ has bought us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now we walk in the newness of his life. God lives in victory. God's not a defeated God. God is a triumphant God. God is an overcoming God. God is a great God. God is a big God. And we can begin to walk in that same likeness here in this earth. But you must resist the enemy when he comes in to steal the word of God out of your life so faith can't come. Back in Matthew to close up here, I want you to see here that Jesus battles three different types of temptations. I said they're diversity, they're manifold, they're unique, they're different every time. The devil's not stupid. He's going to bring something new into you, challenge you. You're feeling like you get out of one, and you're right back at another one. What is going on here? But stay with it. Stay with it. You'll win every single time. You're the winner. The devil then takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6. He said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Let me see what kind of man you are. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. It says in the Greek, he said, he will command his angels to guard and protect you. That's what it says in the Greek. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written again, devil. And that's imperfect. It means it's continuing. He continues to tell the devil the same thing over and over. It's an iterative. I think it's iterative. It means repetitive. He's telling him over and over. No, devil, it is written. The word is written. The word is written. God's promised me. I'm going to keep speaking it. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what you show me. I don't care what I reason out. I'm still going to speak the word of God. It is written. It is written. And it's written. If you're not following this, he's resisting the devil. He's commanding the devil to shut up by speaking the word of God to him. You want to get the devil off your back? You want to get circumstances to change your life? Begin to speak the word of God to it. Now that sounds stupid, Pastor. That sounds ridiculous. Well, tell Jesus that because that's what he did. Tell Paul that. That's what he did. So I'm in good boat. I'm in with Jesus and Paul. Amen? And James and Peter. You can't find a writer in the word of God that doesn't talk about this. We'll pick up a little bit more on this because I think you need to hear this. If this church is going to come out of the circumstances of a wilderness we come into, well, we're not in one. Well, I guess it's everybody's opinion and view. But we can come out of this and come higher and see God move in this place like never before. We can see people get healed right here. We can see people get saved right here. We can see people, the devil get cast out. We can see the dead raised. We can come out and we can live in the milk and the honey of the word of God, the promises that God has given us. We can come to a higher table and feast from the feast of God's word. It is written, it is written, it is written. But the devil will come in. He'll come in. He'll try to steal the seed from us. He'll put you in some kind of adverse circumstances, individually and corporately, fighting among ourselves, fighting some battle, taking our eyes off the word of God, getting us over in this area somewhere so we can't speak our faith. It's time we rise up. It's our church to rise up and begin to resist the devil and tell him his day is over. It is the day that we pick up the sword of our spirit and we begin to swing it and begin to take the land that God has given us. There is people in this town that is not saved. There's people in this town that's backslidden. There's people in this town that are sick. There's people in this town that need a deliverance. There's people in this town that need hope. And we're here and we're supposed to be that lighthouse. Let's get out of our circumstances. Let's become the church that God has called us to do. Be the hope, the encouragement of this community. To be the light that they can be drawn to. And if we lift up the name of Jesus, all men will be drawn unto us. It's simple. We're going to keep moving. And again, the devil takes him again in an exceeding high mountain and shows him the kings of the world and the glory of all them. And he said unto him, all these things I'll give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, saying, I resist you, devil. For it is written. It is written. You don't stand up to the devil in your own flesh. You don't stand up to the devil in your own mind. You don't stand up to the devil in your own reasoning. You stand up to the devil with the word of God that he promised you and backs it up. He himself, God himself, will back up his word. You speak that word into your circumstance. You speak that word to your situation and watch it begin to turn. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we're learning to be men and women of the Spirit. We're learning to be men and women of faith. It is our hour. It is our moment. It is our time to rise up. It is the day of salvation. It is the day of the awakening. It's the day of revival. It is the day that the Christian takes back the land and begins to see God move in a mighty, mighty way. We thank you, Father. We don't care what's thrown our way. We're going to look at that devil. We're going to look at that circumstance. We're going to look at those things in the face and say, no more, Mr. Devil, because it is written, it is written, it is written. And Father, we're going to see you back that word up and begin to turn this situation around. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.